Karamcast.
This is the Karamcast episode 2, coming to you from Chemical Light Factory Studios in Hollywood, California on a Saturday night. I have my guest Amy with me again.
Good evening.
Shut up. Get out of here. And that was her. She's now being shipped off.
The hook has taken me away for being misbehaved on the show.
Speaking of misbehaved, Amy's got a friend who came along with her today.
Oh, yeah.
Janessica.
Her name was like Janessica, but if she had it her way, her name would be Virginity.
And yeah, I think I just met her out in front of the Jones Cafe.
Yeah. Did you love her?
My friend Sarah's birthday party, her 30th birthday. She was mourning the crisis of turning 30, but I loved turning 30.
I'm nervous about it.
It's amazing.
I like what you said about turning 30, that once you were 30, you didn't care anymore.
Yeah, that happened in stages. That happened to me when I hit 24. I remember feeling like something had just chilled out a little bit. I wasn't so stressed about rebelling against whatever. And then when I hit 30, I didn't really care what anybody thought about me anymore. So that was the second stage. But they, you know, the thing is that when you hit around 27, you go into this thing called your Saturn returns, and Saturn, which is the planet that rules karma, starts to put a lot of pressure on you, and it's this emancipation period from your dependency upon your wherever it is that you came from, your parents and so on. And then you move out, you start to go through your whole period of like independence and fighting for identifying yourself and finding yourself. And then Saturn returns kind of puts the heat on you to emerge as what you will become. And
it makes you a little crazy.
It's heavy duty because you're stripping away everything that was implanted in you as you grew up, all the indoctrination. And it feels pretty spooky because you have to give away these things you either fought really hard for or that you fought so hard to get away from. And then all of a sudden it just kind of goes and you think, oh my God, who am I fighting against now? I've got nobody to rebel against or whatever. And you ultimately end up becoming accountable for yourself. And that's, I remember I went up to the roof of my building and I thought about that. And I thought, wow, I don't have a principal at a school or a cop or a you know, overbearing parent who is going to tell me what to do who I'm going to tell what I am going to do. And I have complete freedom to make my own decision. And that was a scarier feeling than anything that had come before. But then when you get through that, it's quite liberating. And I think that's why a lot of rock stars die around the age of 27.
Yeah.
You get Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison.
Amy Winehouse.
She's not dead yet.
She still has a year, I think, to live.
Well, let's wish her well.
I know.
She's got a great voice.
I know, it's so sad.
It's so sad that she's got a great voice?
No, I just saw her last performance, and just warbling came out, and then she started crying and saying she didn't want to live.
Where did you see her last performance?
Hello. Me and Janessica saw it online.
Janessica?
On PerezHilton.com. She checks it every 5 seconds.
Oh. So is Perez Hilton your new go-to television viewing source?
No, absolutely not.
Did you watch the presidential debate?
I did. I watched it through a variety of screaming sports fans because the venue I was at had, in between each television screen was a football game playing.
And what was the final score?
I think the Red Sox lost to the Yankees, so I kind of...
I meant between the presidential candidates.
Right. I'm not quite sure. It was kind of a... What's the word? It was up in the air for me, especially because most of the debate sounded like...
So you can't really give a...
I can't give a valid response to that yet. How about you?
I watched it, and you know, McCain was being much more pragmatic, and I think that Obama was being a little bit rhetorical and dogmatic, which is unfortunate, but whatever. I'm just watching and seeing what they've got. It's ultimately all politician-ness anyways, so it's once they're in the hot seat, we'll see what they really kind of provide to the ongoing inevitable chain of events anyway.
Yeah.
But that's too heavy a topic for me on a Saturday.
Yeah, but speaking of TV, though, let's talk about TV.
And where you watch TV?
Yeah.
So what's your favorite way to watch the TV shows that you like the most?
Well, right now, I like one in particular.
Which is?
I Want to Work for Diddy.
Oh, yeah? Why do you like that?
I like it because there's some characters on that show, and I like that structure of these people. It's kind of like Donald Trump's show.
It's an interesting thing about reality shows that involve business-mindedness.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't actually get exposed to that. They sort of wake up one day and they have all these credit cards and debts and everything. And these shows put the pins to you about how to deal in business.
Definitely.
The question was, where do you watch?
I love it because I can go to the Xbox Media Center and I go to TV shows. I find VH1, scroll down. I Want to Work for Diddy.
But you have to pay for it.
160 points.
160 points. So you have to pay $1.60 to watch this TV show.
I don't even care. I would rather pay $1.60 than pay $80 a month for cable.
What if you went over to Hulu.com and you could watch it for free?
I didn't find it on there.
Except on Hulu, you would have to watch commercials.
Yeah, I don't like commercials.
2 minutes of commercials per hour.
If they let me fast forward through the commercials, I would be fine.
They already think of it as giving everything away for free, so they have to have some kind of advertising model, right?
If it is a reality show, why don't they just put products in the show?
I don't know who I would argue or complain about paying 160 Microsoft points for an episode of the P. Diddy show, because at the same time, we all have no problem paying 99 cents for a song.
Right. But once it looks like points and not dollars, it kind of feels easier on the pocket.
Oh, so the level of abstraction makes spending the money
easier.
But you're still spending the money.
Still.
And you don't mind that model.
Mm-mm.
You know what would be really cool is if Microsoft figured out that you could actually win points, like at a carnival, from achieving certain goals and games.
That
like, let's say that you are playing Castle Crashers, one of our favorite Xbox Live Arcade games right now. And you meet certain thresholds, which means you've spent a certain number of hours playing the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously would have had to buy the game in the first place. And you earn 50 points, Microsoft Live Market points or whatever, that you could then spend on a TV show. That would make the thing go absolutely crazy through the roof.
Yeah, and that would get people to buy more games and just keep playing.
Yeah, just like I think Apple should just give the iPod away for free.
The Penguin.
So that they can keep people coming to iTunes, because iTunes is under threat right now. I wouldn't say it's about to topple, but this week MySpace is launching its new music service that is in conjunction with Amazon.com. So Jeff Bezos, who created Amazon, is the kind of guy who keeps surviving, and not just surviving, but thriving on a crazy scale because he thinks outside the box. And if you look at why all the other guys failed against iTunes, it's because everybody looked at iTunes and said, okay, Apple's going to sell a song for 99 cents, so we should sell songs for 99 cents. And then Apple's going to make everything available for this portable device called the iPod, so we should make everything available for our own portable devices. But the problem with all of that is that all they're ever doing is they're chasing the guy who's the leader, and the leader has already got the major market share, and these guys are just following suit. So
they're not thinking out of the box and creating their own ideas.
Yeah, why do I want number two when I can have, you know, the guy who's designing the model? So then Jeff Bezos comes along, and he goes, well, forget all that. I'll just go to the four major labels. I'll get them to give me their entire catalogs available for free streaming, and then if you want to own that thing, you could just click and download it for whatever, 89 cents, which is it's an invisible transaction that you do it right through your MySpace page, and all the advertising is happening because everybody on MySpace can go and make playlists out of each other's playlists. You don't have to go to another person's profile anymore. You can just find a song on a person's playlist and add it to your own. You can have an infinite number of playlists. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Really?
Yeah. This is how the new MySpace is going to work. It's going to go crazy.
Maybe I should travel back and check it out for a little bit.
This is going to completely revitalize MySpace as a platform, and I think it's going to revolutionize how music is being sold once again.
MySpace is like an old friend.
It was definitely drifting in the middle of nowhere for a while, but
it was.
We give an awful lot of time to MySpace discussions on this show, and I think we got to cut it short.
Let's cut it.
We can talk about landscaping.
Oh, you love landscaping. You love gardening, right?
I had a good time this summer up in Canada gardening. You weed things, and it's like plucking thoughts out of your mind, straggly thoughts, and then you either rip something out of the ground and transplant it somewhere else, so you've reshaped the space, and then this poor little thing wilts, and it looks like it may not make it, but after a couple of weeks, you come back, and there it is thriving and going crazy in its new home, and it's amazing. You can put heirloom plants alongside other magical flowers, and you can create these incredible environments, and they're all alive and thriving, and they cross-pollinate and
bloom.
And especially in the places that have real seasons, it all dies. There's a really zen thing about all of this. Like, it all just, it apparently dies as the fall and the winter come. And then in the spring, it comes up with a whole new design, a whole new life, a whole new pattern. And that's amazing to me. It's about faith. It's about the impermanency of things. It's an incredibly philosophical kind of pastime.
I envy it because I've never had a green thumb. It's a lot of work.
It's like, a lot of exertion, for
yeah,
sure.
It's
good exercise.
It's not grandma's gardening. It's heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
You got cut, scraped, like...
Oh, yeah.
You were all banged
it's
up.
It's a little battle zone. And you can really mess up your back, but it's worth it. It's something physical. You know, you spend so much time in front of a browser, it disconnects you. So it's just really great to get your hands in the mud.
In the soil.
Roll around in it. Going back to video games for a second, I wanted to just mention that this week on theculturepin.com, I wrote an article about a book I read a few years ago called Lucky Wander Boy. It's sort of a strange Thomas Pynchonian paranoia novel about a guy who's obsessed with the old video games, and he finds this emulator program that lets him play any video game on his computer. And
like in television?
Yeah, like in television and all just those Namco games and everything. And one of the games is called Lucky Wander Boy, and he realizes that there's certain stages of the game that have never been completed, and if you do, it starts to change your personal life. But when I read the book, I was so intrigued by the thing he's talking about, this emulator called MAME 32 that he had downloaded. So I looked it up, and sure enough, there is a thing called MAME 32, and sure enough, it is an emulator for games. And back in the day, it was highly illegal to get these ROMs from the original games that you could download because they were commercial property. But nowadays, since all the arcades are dying out, I know that one of the most famous arcades on Yonge Street in Toronto closed after 30 years or whatever.
Didn't we wear black that day when you found out?
25, 30 years. Anyway, it closed down. They're all going away. And so now, really, what are you arguing against? So you can get these ROMs and you can play the real actual brains of Donkey Kong at home on your computer. And if you press the 5 key on your keyboard, it's like inserting a quarter. And can I just tell you, from a time in my life where I used to have to pay $10 to this guy with a little change purse on him to get a roll of quarters, and how hard I had to work for that 10 bucks to being able to just press the number 5 like a crazy monkey, boop, 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 and I can get infinite number of games to play Donkey Kong. It's just an amazing feeling.
Did you figure out how to jump and hit yet?
No. I mean, each game's got different controls, but it's really cool. Like, the other thing is you can find ROMs that are from beta versions of games, like they were never released on the tabletop arcades, or you could find a Japanese version or a Korean version of Ms. Pac-Man that was never seen here, that are different. I gotta tell you, it's just really crazy.
It looked pretty cool.
So what was your week like since the last podcast? What's the attitude on the streets in California during this very tenuous time in the
economy?
Well,
for one, I found out that my bank closed.
The Washington Mutual
Bank,
which is where you have your pennies stored.
I have my...
Has shut down.
My $7.62 in there. And
since... It's been around since 18...
119 years, I think.
1880s.
Yeah.
And it's for the first time, it's closed its doors for good.
And I thought about pulling all that money out, you know, that whole almost $10, but I think I'm just going to let it ride for a little bit. When we were in the bank, some guy was in... The very next day.
At the Wells Fargo.
Yeah. He was freaking out and, like, on the cell phone saying, oh, I'm cleaning out all my bank, my business accounts. And then he tells the guys he wants to close his bank account.
And cash out.
And so they're looking down and they're trying to ask him questions. And he says, I don't want to talk about it. I just want my money. And they're not giving it to him. And then me and my...
Yep, he was very direct. He said, I want to cash my money out.
I thought he was polite. I mean, he wasn't polite. He just was being, you know, stern. And the guy says, you know, hands his card back to him and said, I'm not going to give it to you because of your attitude.
And then today in the newspaper stand, there was those pamphlets that said foreclosure auctions this week. But you know what? When you go out to the bars and stuff, they're full. Everybody's out there drinking. And so we're gonna work on getting some phone interviews happening in the next little while. I've got a phone number set up that I will be releasing out to the public soon. Yep. And we'll be inviting your messages, and we'll be featuring some of the messages on the show directly. And I've got some friends out in Houston that I'm going to be interviewing who were in the middle of the Ike hurricane and had to be evacuated, and then they're back, but there's still about 600,000 people that don't have a lot of the basics right now. So we're going to have a talk with them about what the scene is out there. And that's it for this week. Don't forget to visit the various blogs that we discuss here, theculturepin.com, musiczeitgeist.com, and of course our home base, karamcast.com.
And if you want to listen to some music, why not Karam Songs?
KaramSongs.com is where I host all my MP3s, and you can buy my new album box there. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Feel free to send us an email if you like this podcast, or if you didn't like it, or if you have an idea for a topic in a future show, at info@karamcast.com. We're up on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe if you like this show, and thanks for listening.